Welcome to The Procurement Show.
Hello and welcome to The Procurement Show, the show that tackles the topics we all need to think about and sets out to explore the more interesting bits of procurement. I'm Jonathan O'Brien.
Yes, you very much are, dear sir. And I'm Paul Philpott. I'm here to ask random questions and this weekend empty Jonathan's dishwasher.
This week we're talking about AI in negotiation and how AI is changing how we negotiate today, considering if it will revolutionise it in the future.
The Procurement Show is brought to you by Positive Purchasing, enabling the future of procurement in organisations around the globe.
And to help me, our guest is leading the way in research into AI into supply negotiations and has become somewhat of an expert authority on business processes and AI. She's led a number of empirical studies on AI and supply negotiations and is even doing a PhD on the subject. She's working as part of the School of Management Polytechnic de Milano, where she is also doing her PhD. Please would you welcome to The Procurement Show, Camilla Borsani. Camilla, welcome. It's really great that you could join us today.
Hello. It's a pleasure for me being here.
What a lovely warm up. And Camilla, I don't know if you're aware, but we sometimes do something called Procurement Show Bingo, where we take phrases and we give points for phrases. And I normally hold back as long as possible for the phrase AI.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, since this one's called AI in negotiation, we've all basically lost.
Yeah, so actually we can't build up to getting the points when somebody first mentions AI because we've already done it many times.
Another word, yes.
Let's start big. What is the future of AI in negotiation?
First of all, I think we need to say that there is a new player in the negotiation arena. Let's think to negotiation like as a chess match, which usually is taken by a buyer and a supplier. But now there is something new because there is a new player that is joined one of both parties that is completely disrupting the dynamics that usually have been part of a very human-like activities and a process like the negotiation one. So the first thing that I'd like to say, it will not be as it was in the past because human-to-human negotiation could remain the pillar, but on the top of that, we have a completely new player that is AI that could reshape dynamics, activities, and could add also, and I think this could be the most interesting thing, value for both parties, as it could introduce new dynamics, new topics also for the two parties to discuss about. And most of all, imagine like the buyer having a kind of assistant for all the activities that need to be done also inside directly the negotiation. So in the future, I think that there will be someone new in the room.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, I'm not clever enough for chess. I actually find it rather boring, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But I do think I'm clever enough to hold a decent negotiation.
Yeah.
And one of the things I really enjoy about a negotiation is actually the personal experience of it. You get a buzz, you get a thrill. You want to
achieve. You can look them in the eye, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And over, in fact, through doing the procurement show for the past 55 plus episodes.
You've had to negotiate
with me. Yeah, every time I send you our invoice, yeah. But I think the human interaction is a key element of negotiation. So can AI replicate that aspect? Surely it can't bring about social interaction, for example, in the same way that humans do.
Well, if I have to take the question today, I might be honest that the human superiority in social and emotional intelligence is something that AI at the moment could not take over. Indeed, if we think to a negotiation, it's probably the most human-centered activity of the whole procurement. It's where the buyer skills becomes very, very relevant, not only the hard one, but also the soft skills, as you were saying. So AI was born as a technology who is able to mimic human behavior. But for the moment, I think that the social and emotional intelligence of people is the toughest challenge to AI to emulate. That's why when I start speaking about the chess match, I do not imagine AI as a player, as a front player, but as someone who is by our side trying to help us and combining in some way the hard intelligence that the technology could bring together with the social and emotional intelligence of humans, that then it is translated into the capability of compromising and empathizing with the other party.
This is really interesting because our mindset here is that AI is going to take over and replace us. And actually, that's not what you're saying, Camilla. It's about alongside, which is an interesting change in our mindset.
And another interesting topic, the whole topic of emotional intelligence, which is something that I hadn't thought of as a theme. We did a podcast, we released it, I believe, in January at the beginning of this year. Yeah. So if you want to find out more about emotional intelligence, scroll back over the podcast archive of The Procurement Show. A few episodes back in January, we did one that really went under the hood of that.
How are big companies using AI for supplier negotiations today? Are there some sort of leaders in the field? Are there people that are actually doing this for real?
It's start spreading. I could say we are in a starting point at the moment because there are a few companies that are starting adopting AI to negotiate. But I need to make a distinction at this time because you have, I think, in my view, two main way of adopting AI in negotiation, because you could leverage the power of, for example, automating activities in negotiation, but those activities that at the moment no one in your company has the time to tackle. So imagine that you don't have someone to play chess with, just to refer to the metaphor. And this is a way that companies are taking, so automating through autonomous negotiation, those negotiations that currently are not taken up by new buyers. On the other side, we need to think that strategic spend comes in place when money spend is higher. And here is where I think AI could be like a co-pilot. So someone preparing the negotiation with us and maybe also in the future staying with us while we are discussing. So these are the two trends at the moment that companies are using. So like an assistant to prepare as well as someone to play chess with when the buyer is not actually available to negotiate the contract.
Like now, a little negotiation helper.
Oh, actually, I like that. Yeah. That's a good position for AI as a helper. I want to talk about bias. Yep. Now, when you're playing the game of chess, again, we're going to go back. I've got a feeling we're going to go back to this game of chess. You might prefer to play with certain people because they give you an enjoyable experience. They give you a challenge or they just deliver you what you want. The same happens in procurement. The same happens whenever you buy anything. You go to the supermarket or the restaurant that you prefer the most.
Yep.
Or you have people that you just get on well with. You could say it's favoritism
or bias.
So the ideal way of procuring in the perfect fashion would be not to have any bias. Everything's done on the right level of merit. Can AI help us reduce bias?
It definitely can, but I think there is a huge but. It can help because, of course, if you're running like an autonomous negotiation with a predefined set of parameters that tells you which is the winning supplier according to those parameters, a buyer could not rely on his experience to select the preferred supplier as it is according to the results of the autonomous negotiation. Mm-hmm. So in this direction, of course, it could help. On the other side, when we deal with preparation, buyers need to be carefully addressed because what could happen is that some other type of bias could emerge if you leverage AI to prepare without being perfectly coherent and informed of what you're doing. For example, there are some different type of bias like the overconfirmation, the overfitting bias, when you're trying to extrapolate from data something that maybe it's not that relevant or it's not that causal to that point. So for example, as you're seeing trends from a supplier that is raising his price, it could be maybe because its quality is rising and not just because he's asking to pay more. And so you need to take into account all the variables and not just take the data that AI is leveraging on for granted.
So does that mean, therefore, that occasionally you need a human to give the AI's output a second level check? In which case, mm-hmm. I would challenge by saying, why not have a person do it to begin with?
Yeah, and I think that's really interesting because it would be easy to say, hey, we don't need AI because it has these flaws. We can just stick with humans. Yeah. And I've heard people say that because they're scared of that stuff.
Yes, of course.
But there's something here about AI bringing into this the bits that the humans aren't very good at or can't do or don't have the time to do, and it being there like our helper along our side filling those gaps. Is that fair, Camilla?
Yes, it's super fair. I think that humans are definitely characterized of what it's called a bounded rationality. Yeah. So if you have to process a huge amount of alternative for a specific negotiation that might be also very complex, it becomes very tough for the human mind to process all the potential alternatives due to cognitive limitation, of course. And here is where the hard component of AI could come in place. Mm-hmm. But to my perspective, it is always the human to some hand that is in charge of running the algorithm and understanding. I think understanding is the key word because do not understand how and why you're using AI, it might be very dangerous. We have kind of thousands of examples on how, for example, ChatGPT, if used not properly, could provide random of wrong information, for example.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
What, those out there.
Yeah, absolutely. But very interesting what Camilla was saying earlier. I guess it's the essence and the quality of the data.
Yeah,
is very key.
Of course, if you're using AI, what it's been trained on, of course, is absolutely essential. But if you then say, when you've got the human next to the AI doing that, that's where you've also got the quality of that understanding, as you said, Camilla, and the decision-making process that goes alongside the AI and is able to validate it, check it, and figure out where best to use it.
And now it's time for this week's fun fact.
Before he founded Amazon, Jeff Bezos, the world's third richest man, was a circus performer.
Well, that explains why I have to jump through hoops to get something.
Very good.
The fun fact. Contact us by email, hello@theprocurementshow.com, or connect with us on LinkedIn. Search for The Procurement Show. The Procurement Show is brought to you by Positive Purchasing, the first choice for advanced procurement and negotiation training.
Now, I want to talk about the tech, because there's lots of bits of technology that are springing up out there. I've been part of developing the Ruby Guided Negotiation Plan Creator, which will do the role play using AI, which was absolutely incredible when we tested that for the first time and realized what AI can do. Also, Walmart claimed to have implemented one of the bots that are out there that actually does the negotiation for you. They talk about that a lot. And I've seen this. It looks pretty basic. And it's a text chat bot that will negotiate with you around one or a few very simple parameters, such as price and payment terms and things like that. And the sense I got when I saw it is it's more like haggling with a street vendor. You know, if you've ever had one of those street vendor haggle, that's what it was. And I couldn't quite see how that was going to change the world of negotiation. So negotiation bots, Camilla, is it a gimmick or is it a glimpse into the future?
I need to say that for the moment, as I said before, it's something quite niche because it's tough for buyer to allow to an AI and chatbot in this case to negotiate on themselves. But I think that here, the thing that could really change the perspective are those activities that could not be managed actually by the buyers. So imagine that, like in the case of Walmart, you have some goods which are not directly sold to the final customer. So they are not the reason why a customer is picking Walmart to another competitors. And to that extent, buyers do not have very much time to handle those contracts. And in those contracts, a lot of potential spend is hidden because no one is actually trying to get something better. So, for example, like a discount, a very small discount, or a better payment term, it's something that could really help buyers into manage what is currently unmanaged. To what concern what is currently already managed, I'm at the moment a bit skeptical in thinking that a bot will completely take place of a contract maybe of thousands of millions of euro, because in that sense, the limit of AI is the capability to understand where to compromise with the buyer. So I think that at the moment, we are seeing some preliminary application with maybe small spend. But I think that AI need to push a bit farther to reach bigger deals at the moment.
The art of compromising is quite an emotional thing, isn't it? That's a very human thing to do. It's not the kind of thing you would expect an AI to do, to compromise. When you think about AI, I think it does this or that or something else.
Yeah, it's got to work within those parameters. Mm. You know, you can make concessions at this rate, and this is the point that you can go to, unless you've trained it on how to be able to respond to a particular number of scenarios. But it does seem like it is early days. But the other thing that occurs to me is, whilst these are individual pieces of tech or applications, it feels like this is just going to be part of a future ERP system. It won't be something you go and buy a negotiation tool. If you buy an ERP system, an intake system that is managing your transactional spend, it'll just take care of the negotiations for you. What do you think?
It has to be a must, the integration into the ERP, because when I went to DPW in October, I've seen a lot of solution, very, very interesting solution. But what I'm really worried about is that a company could not have 10 software open compared also to their ERP. So I think that to properly manage in an effective way the whole procurement process, it is fundamental that those specific technology, as they need to be specific, because to provide a single negotiation, you could not just take a longitudinal solution, but you need to take something very narrowed. But they can be and need to be directly integrated with the ERP, because if not, imagine the risk of putting all the data from this software to the ERP, how many errors you could have, how many inefficiency. You're using AI to automate something, but then two systems are not speaking each other. I think that the integration, it's a must for those technology to be successful. Hmm.
So again, it's going back to quality of data and the implementation. Yep. You brought that interesting example of Walmart, the bot.
Yes.
And you mentioned the term bot. I want to really push that too. Robot. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think we'll ever get to the stage, right, Camilla, whereby you've either got maybe not necessarily a physical robot, but perhaps an AI? Oh, what's the term? It's on the tip of my tongue. You know, there was the film with the blue people. Blue people.
Avatars.
Avatars. Yeah. That was my impression of the Avatar
they
character.
They didn't make that noise.
Did they not?
No.
Oh, maybe that was a Muppet. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, avatars. So do you reckon we'll ever get to the stage whereby you're dealing with an AI avatar? So they're talking to you.
What, in real life or online?
Yeah, no, in real life.
Yeah. Okay.
Or even online. I mean, a lot of negotiations are done over Zoom. That's online.
Yeah.
But the actual thing you're negotiating with is an AI avatar.
Right.
But then I guess the next level from that is to plug it into a robot. Are we ever going to get to that stage?
It's very tough to imagine a robot, a physical robot, negotiating with someone. I don't know why the computer is a good mean for people to deal with AI.
Yeah.
I think that with a physical robot, the willingness of people to negotiate will be definitely lower compared to a chat. I think due to a huge social also factors by which it becomes tough to speak also with someone that it's not a human being, while it's definitely more diffused to chat with someone that is not a human being.
I'm going to jump. I think the reason why I'm thinking this, and I want to back up my question, which is really random, I know, but body language, is such a big aspect, yeah?
Yeah, it is.
So you can't put emotion or that kind of level of negotiation when you're dealing with a chatbot over text. You have to use your hands, you use your eyes. Yeah. The whole aspect of body language is the third dimension
of
negotiation.
Most of negotiation is body language when you're face-to-face.
My sentiment, exactly. So you obviously, in order for the AI to negotiate back to somebody who's utilizing the art of body language, needs to have a body.
Yeah.
Of course. That's why I was thinking that AI could be, again, an assistant in reading, for example, the body language of the people you're negotiating with. Imagine to have like an assistant on your screen that could, through a software, understanding and providing insights based on the body language of the other person. So imagine an assistant that is saying, okay, the voice is spinning up, the voice is lower or higher. Therefore, in this instance, you could probably push harder and get a better discount. So to have an assistant also within the negotiation, not just in preparing the negotiation, this is something that could really disrupt the dynamic, because you really have another person in the room altering somehow the dynamics of the negotiation.
And this sounds something interesting to utilize in negotiation training as well, Jonathan.
This is probably one of the key areas where AI can help with negotiation. Right now, it is the training bit. And we've seen this when we develop Ruby, because it can begin to role play those scenarios, providing it's been trained on what good negotiation looks like, which isn't your open AI ChatGPT 4.0. It's something that has had access to a real rich body of experience of what good negotiation looks like and what good negotiation process is, so you're able to role play with it. And the body language thing is a really interesting thing, because I haven't seen anybody do that yet, not in any way the work. So that's kind of a future direction of travel here. But yeah, absolutely, because there would be the scenario where you can sit down with an avatar and you can practice your negotiation skills before you do it with a real human being, if indeed you do.
Scary.
We'll be right back in just a moment.
Meet Ruby.
Hello.
Your negotiation co-pilot powered by AI.
Oh, yes.
Ruby guides you and your team to plan your negotiation. And because it's built on the famous red sheet method, you can be certain of the best outcome.
Woohoo!
And if you need help, just ask Ruby.
I'll help you.
Or access the onboard learning.
Don't forget.
I haven't forgotten. I'm saving the best till last.
Woo.
Because Ruby can then do the negotiation. Using AI and our 20 years negotiation experience, Ruby is one of the best trained negotiators you will find. If you want to win, role play with Ruby.
Yay!
To find out more, just search Ruby Negotiation or visit positivepurchasing.com.
The Procurement Show with Jonathan O'Brien.
We've talked about the different scenarios here. So we've established that we can't just sit back and let AI do the work. It's not going to be like some autopilot you flick and you're going to do this. It's going to be more like this personal assistant for us, which sounds amazing. But what are the watch outs? If we're going to have AI as a personal assistant, what do we need to be careful of?
I think that there are at least two things that we need to take into account. The first is the experience of the person that is using that type of AI. Because if you think into a junior buyer who is receiving as output from AI, for example, a potential strategy, he needs to have the capabilities of understanding what AI is actually doing, because it is not possible to take the output of an AI tool like something done. It has to be a draft from which the buyer needs to work on, but it's something very useful because the whole back office is done by AI, and then you really need to work only on the value-adding part. For example, if I'm preparing a negotiation, the whole market analysis, the whole counterpart analysis can be done by AI, and then me as a buyer could leverage on understanding where I can use the data that AI has provided, which are the weak points or the strength of my counterpart, in order to gain more of what I want. The second point that, to my perspective, is very important is the transparency. Because any tool to be trustable by a buyer need to be transparent in terms of which are the flows that are behind the decision-making that an AI algorithm is taking. So to be effective in the use of negotiation, I think that transparency from the side of the tool and understanding and fact-checking from the buyer side are the two main things that we need to take care of in order to proper leverage something that could be really, really disrupting.
That's good advice.
Yeah, Camilla, I want to scroll back a bit earlier in the answer to the question you just gave, actually, because you touched on utilizing AI in preparation. So anybody who goes into a negotiation will know that it's only going to go as well as the groundwork you put into it. You need to do your own bit of market analysis, even be completely knowledgeable about what you want to buy and where your limits are. That can be quite a complex exercise depending on what industry you're in and what you're actually negotiating over. So what about deploying AI with regards to doing our homework, our research, I guess market analysis, predictions even? Is that more of an application now? Is that ready for us to utilize now?
Yes. I think here we are a bit more advanced in some terms because we are leveraging algorithms from machine learning domain. So it's something that is much consolidated both in industry but also in academic literature. For example, outcome prediction algorithms are something that are used in a lot of industry, in a lot of companies' processes. So it's something currently more in place, but for the reason that no social or emotional intelligences are in place, but we're dealing on the hard part of the negotiation. I have a technical background because I'm an engineer, though, and I really think that the winning comes from a very good preparation, and it is very, very tough to achieve a very good outcome in a negotiation without preparing it. And therefore, it becomes very useful to have an ally as, for example, an algorithms, but then with GenAI, a lot of things have been disruptive because it has been like democratized the use of AI because anyone, I would say not anyone, but a lot of people can access to ChatGPT, or companies are trying to develop in their own generative model to ask which could be the right strategy to deal with a specific supplier that has a particular history that provide a particular product. And in terms of product, it becomes also definitely easier to understand what I'm buying. So imagine that I'm in a particular complex industries where product that I'm buying have a very high specificity in terms of specs that I need to communicate to my suppliers. AI in this can be very powerful for buyers to reduce a lot the cost of understanding which are the specs that need to be communicated and write very clearly which are the standard that I'm asking to my suppliers.
So that's really interesting. So just to be clear, if the AI not only knows about negotiation, but knows about the industry sector, knows about the thing that you're buying because it's been trained in that way, you can gain an advantage because it's able to go and think about ways that you can get some sort of advantage or a point where you can negotiate on something.
Yeah, definitely. And in literature, in our academic literature, we always say that salespeople are more prepared to negotiate compared to procurement.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it becomes a must to start using AI, because imagine if the sales team of the supplier is using actually AI to prepare your negotiation. Here, a huge gap between my supplier and I can become very relevant in terms of profitability. So here I can have two scenarios. The first one is that I'm a pioneer, and if my supplier is not currently using AI, I can gain a competitive advantage. But if my supplier is already using a kind of AI to prepare a negotiation, I really have to use it, because if not, I can lose power in my relationship. And this can become very critical once that I need to establish favorable outcomes.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
But then surely, and I'm going to pose this question to Jonathan, because I think you cover this in a lot of your training and examples before. If everybody is utilizing this thing in the same way, going back to our chess analogy, you might end up with a checkmate situation. Then what do you do?
Yeah, and I guess if you take this forward to that future state where AI is more than that personal assistant, you've actually got the AI doing the negotiation and it can read body language and it has a blue avatar that does it for you.
So
how do you then get an advantage? Because you've got AI against AI that knows the industry, knows everything there is to know about it. Perhaps they've even been trained on the same thing. You can imagine sellers thinking, if the buyer's using AI, we're going to use the same LLM that's been trained on the same stuff so we can actually counter that. So where's the advantage going to come from, Camilla?
Well, here really comes in place the reason why buyer will still ever exist. Because if you take two buyers and you gave them the same access to the same tool, you do not have to expect that they will achieve the same outcome in the negotiation. Because yes, it has a hard component, but the skills of the buyer will remain very, very valuable within a negotiation. So it's not something that is completely predefined, but the buyer's skill will still make the difference. Something very interesting could be, and it's something that we are expecting in the future, to understand which and whether there are new abilities that the buyer need to develop in order to leverage the advantage of the technology, but also to rely on its capabilities in order not to be an impasse within a negotiation. So I think that the skills will be still a very relevant competitive advantage.
That's good to know. There's still a role for us for the future.
Yes.
We're not redundant yet.
And now it's time for this week's Ask Jonathan.
And today's Ask Jonathan comes from Rachel Harrison, age 7. And a half.
7 and a half.
And a
half.
Don't
forget the half.
And also Jessica Harrison, age 5. And Rachel has handwritten a letter to us, which reads as follows.
Okay.
Dear Jonathan, I listened to the Procurement Show. Lovely spelling there, P-R-O-K-O-O-M-E-N-T.
That is the alternative spelling.
It's the alternative
for
the K. I love it. In the car when my mummy is driving us to school and sometimes to ballet class because my mummy puts it on because she says it's interesting and helps her do her job. I think Paul is very funny. Yes. My sister listens as well and goes to sleep.
That's understandable.
I think it's a little bit interesting, but it's a bit boring at some times. And I don't understand some things because I'm only 7 and a half. My mummy's job is procurement. And I have asked her what procurement is. And she says it's like going shopping for a big company. But I don't think this is a satisfactory answer. So I said I want to ask Jonathan to tell me what procurement is. And she's done a drawing of Procurement Show for you.
And I've got the drawing here.
Look at that.
Yeah, well, that's lovely. Rachel, thank you so much. We've got the drawing of the Procurement Show, and it's actually got our names written by it. There's me, and it says Paul in brackets, funny.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah, we'll put that up on our board behind. Perhaps you could,
Jonathan in brackets, not.
Perhaps you could stick it up on the board behind us.
So your answer, please, sir.
Yeah, so Rachel, thank you so much for writing into the Procurement Show. And it is like shopping for a big company, but there's a bit more to it than that. So obviously, you go to school, and the way to think about this is that your school will have to buy lots of things, and it will have to buy the computers that you use, it'll have to buy the furniture and the desks and the chairs and things like that, and it'll have to buy the books that you have and the iPads. So let's think about the exercise books that you have. So you could just wait till you need a new exercise book, and then somebody goes to a shop and buys you one. You could do that. But that means that somebody's going to be going to a shop to buy lots and lots of books all the time, every time somebody needs a new exercise book. So what we do in procurement is we say, well, let's think about how many books each class might need, not just for 1 week, but for maybe the whole year or maybe the next 2 years. And then let's think about what the whole school will need. Let's say that's maybe 5,000 books.
That's lots of books.
And you could then say, let's work with the other schools and figure out what they need. So let's say that's maybe a gazillion exercise books with a G. And so what we do in procurement is, rather than going to a shop, we then go to the people that make the books and we say, we want to buy a gazillion books that we're going to use in all the schools in the area over the next year. And because we haven't had to have people going to the shop and we haven't had to have lots of trucks moving small amounts of books around, we can buy lots of them at the same time. And that means we can get them a lot cheaper. So if we're able to buy the exercise books for a much cheaper price, it means that the school has more money to then spend on buying some equipment for the playground and other things that it needs. It also means we can say, let's think about whether those books are using good paper that means we're not cutting down lots of trees and damaging the planet.
Yes.
And we can say, let's make them sustainable. So we can do that for all of the schools. So that's what procurement is about, looking at not just the single things we buy, but looking at all the things we buy and saying, how can we buy that really well so we save money and we have more money left over to spend on other things and we can keep the planet good at the same time.
Do you know what, Jonathan O'Brien? That is the best explanation for anything you've ever given, ever.
That's good to know.
I think that was textbook.
And Rachel, thank you so much for your drawing. Thank you for writing in. I hope that helps.
Thank you for the drawing indeed. And if you've got a question to ask Jonathan, here's how to get in touch.
Ask Jonathan. Email your question to jonathan@theprocurementshow.com. You might be part of the next show. The Procurement Show is brought to you by Positive Purchasing, training procurement teams worldwide to deliver outstanding results.
So Jonathan and I were talking about the utilisation of AI tools now. Mm-hmm. And obviously everybody uses ChatGPT with regards to pretty much everything under the sun now. What can ChatGPT do for us now? And where are the trip hazards?
I need to make very hypothesis here, because at the moment, there are a lot of companies who are not allowing their employees to use ChatGPT. And it's something that is emerging from my research, that companies are trying to developing their own GPTs due to privacy reason, of course. Mm-hmm. But let's make the hypothesis that a buyer could use GPT, so there are no firewall, no things that are blocking it. Imagine that you could upload or you could describe the scenario where are you facing your supplier. So, for example, you could describe the type of industry, you could describe whether it is a new supplier, a pre-qualified supplier, someone who already you are working with, and from how much time. Based on that, you could also add which type of product are you buying. And attached with that, you could also add something that to me it's very interesting, that are my priorities, so things that I'm not willing to compromise on. For example, it could be the reliability, the quality. And on the other side, you could also try to understand with the GPT, which could be those factors that the supplier is not able and doesn't want to compromise on, in order to provide, while then you will perform the negotiation, some concession that could be valuable for your supplier, but that from the perspective of the buyer do not cost that much. On the other side, something that could be very, very useful is the preparation and the development of the strategy. Imagine that you have set all the goal that you would like to reach from this negotiation in terms of price, in terms of payment terms, in terms of after sales services, and you have identified which are the goals and the outcome that you would like to achieve. Through a ChatGPT, you could say, okay, I'm in a hostile environment with a supplier. How can I establish an atmosphere with this kind of supplier? Where do I start from? Which parameter do you think could be the right one to break the ice at the beginning? So even if the traditional AI could be quite complex to mimic the human behavior, generative AI is very good at understanding the human behavior and providing also some suggestion in order to develop tactics to cope with the relational aspect of the real negotiation.
So again, you're using it as a tool and yes, for inspiration rather than the solution. Yeah.
And that's the theme that's really come out of today. There's just one more question for me that I'm desperate to ask, which is, today, are there certain types of negotiation that AI is more suitable for?
At the moment, as we are at the beginning of this phenomenon, of course, I need to say that simple negotiation are those when you could extract more. Then even here, I need to make a distinction, because if you're talking about autonomous negotiation, I would definitely suggest to use AI for those non-critical elements. So those that are not seen from a customer, those that are not like adding value to the product that I'm selling. So in that sense, when I'm going for autonomous negotiation, those type of product could be the one where AI could be a win-win. On the other side, very complex negotiation could be broken down in less complex problem by using, for example, a Gen AI tool, because it can become easier to fragment and understand each part of the negotiation. So, for example, imagine that you have to negotiate 10 items, and for 10 items, you need to understand which could be the right price, the right quality, the right quantity, the right delivery terms, the penalties that you'd like to ask to your suppliers, and the return policy. There are 70 choices that you need to make, and preparing this negotiation on your own, like paper and pen or just with Excel, it can become very, very critical, and you could also somehow lose yourself while preparing this. If instead you're guided with specific question, with a specific tool, taking care of at least the beginning part for each of these questions, so for example, proposing an anchoring offer for all of them, of course, this could be very, very useful.
You'll be very, very impressed with me, because only last weekend, I utilised AI for a procurement procedure.
Did you?
Yes, I did. And I got it to analyse 10 menus.
Yes.
And it gave me some negotiation tactics with regards to nutritional value, price point, delivery, expectation of delivery, and quantity. Yeah, that's how I chose my mic.
Did it pan out? Were there any hallucinations after you'd eaten all of this?
I didn't eat all 10 suggestions. No, I just had a Chinese.
Okay.
Yeah, so you know where I'm going, don't you? Obviously, yes.
I've got it.
I'm getting me round to my three top takeaways. So, Camilla, you've given us a lot of food for thought about the future of AI in this particular space might look like. But for now, what are your top three takeaways, please?
Well, the first, we have mentioned it a lot, but I think that the quality of the data and the capability of having clean data and updated data within a company is a fundamental prerequisite before even dealing within AI, with every kind of AI. Today, we're speaking about negotiation, but it's something that without clean data, we always say garbage in, garbage out. So if you're not providing something that is clean, that is valuable, then it becomes very tough to obtain something with an attached value. So first of all, the data quality. The second is the contingency of the context. So what I mean, it has to be specific, the choice of the solution of AI that you're picking, because not all AI solution fits all the context. There are some products that deserve a certain level of automation. Like, for example, we have mentioned non-critical items, but there are other products that deserve a different level of attention from the buyer. So I think that one size does not fit all work also in these circumstances. And the third one, well, I'm kind of young to advise buyer, but I really would like to say that the skills of the buyer will remain a definitely important competitive advantage from companies, it might be useful to revise the skills that are needed. But of course, the difference that a very good buyer can do in a negotiation, it's something that would really be a plus and would really remain both today, but also in the future. So yeah, if I have to summarize the key three takeaways, I think data quality is a must. The one size does not fit all for an AI tool in negotiation. And the skills of the buyers need to be coherent with the level of development of the technology that nowadays we have.
That's going to there be such a relief to hear that for the people listening. And actually, they're not redundant. They're still going to be needed. They just need to understand
and
how
AI works. And also garbage in, garbage out, much like my diet.
It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on The Procurement Show. And I just have one more question, which is concerning me. Even when AI takes over, will I still be able to get videos of cats riding robotic hoovers? I thought it was just me for a moment. If I can't have that,
you're not interested anymore.
No, that's right. So as long as we still get cats on robotic vacuum cleaners, then everything's
then
good.
The world's okay.
I'd like to say maybe one last thing that we haven't touched today that I really take care of, that is the ethical use of generative AI. I know that I'm opening a very big theme, but maybe you'll have occasion to, or you already have occasion to talk about that. But of course, I think that even when we speak about pictures anymore and videos, the ethical aspect is something that we all need to take into account while we're using those kind of tools.
Yeah, that's really good advice.
I think that's a good topic for an episode.
We should do a whole podcast on the ethical use of AI and the ethical use of cats with robotic vacuum cleaners.
Yes.
Camilla Borsani, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a delight and it's been enlightening, and I look forward to seeing how your career goes stratospheric. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you both. It has been a very, very pleasure. Pleasure for myself joining you, and finger crossed, we will see what happens.
You've been listening to The Procurement Show. Contact us by email, hello@theprocurementshow.com. Connect with us on LinkedIn, search for The Procurement Show, and visit us at theprocurementshow.com. You can also WhatsApp us on +44 7396 939933. The Procurement Show is brought to you by Positive Purchasing, transforming procurement with exceptional tools and advanced training. Produced in the UK by Fresh Air Studios. The Procurement Show is copyright Positive Purchasing, all rights reserved.
Negotiating is a bit like building muscle. Without the muscle, you won't get the results. But the more you train, the stronger you get. And before you know it, you'll be the strongest. Build your negotiation muscle today. Train your team in Red Sheet Negotiation and watch them win.
Yes.
Visit Red Sheet Negotiation and find out how the top-performing companies negotiate.